Good morning. How are you today? Are you doing good? Yeah. Show of hands. Who here likes food? Okay. I think the true question is who here loves food? Yeah. We're a culture that we're so serious about our food. We are so serious that we have competitions around food. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? I mean, I'm pretty sure we all have seen that. But you know that there's other competitions about food? Here's a few examples. For example, there's a competitive eating of crawfish. That's a lot of work, no? Our onions. Who would dare to do that one? Onions? No? Fruitcake? Fruitcake? I think I would do that one. That sounds right. How about beef tongue? Well, we didn't put an image about that. But I think the nastiest one of all, it's mayo. Mayo, oh. Can you imagine that? You know that the record is somebody ate 432 ounces bowls of mayo. So that's not good. There's something interesting about eating. And maybe you don't know, but that's one of the best ways that we can actually carry the mission, the Jesus mission. So we're in the middle of our series, and the series is called How to Bless Your Neighbor. And it's all about the mission that we have here at Community, which is helping people find their way back to God. And it's something that it's not only the church mission, it's your mission, it's my mission, it's our mission together. And so often, something that we have been saying is that many times we're a church that hopes that people will find their way back to God. And we need to move from being that church to actually being a church that helps people find their way back to God. And the best way that we can do that is through the blessing practices. We have been saying that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Now, BLESS is actually an acronym for five practices that we have been discovering. The first week we started with begin with prayer. We said that if we want to bless our community, our neighbors, we have to begin with prayer. And then we said that we have to learn how to listen. Listen to the places and to the people that God is calling us to bless. And today is my favorite practice, which is eating. Eating, eating, eating. We love to eat, but because of our busy schedules and everything that we have to do, we usually eat really fast. We eat on the go, we eat in our cars, we eat alone. And for a lot of us, the phrase dinner is served is something maybe from the past, something that you haven't heard for a long, long, long time. But do you know that eating together, it's very important? More important than we realized. There was a study done by the Health Board of Canada. And they listed the benefits of people eating together, especially kids with their parents. And they said that the kids that eat with an adult, they have healthier eating habits into adulthood. They have lower risk of disorder eating. They use less use of cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol. They have better self-esteem and less depression. So eating together has a lot of benefits for kids and adults. Now, Jesus recognized this. If I ask you, what comes to mind when we talk about Jesus and the time that he was here on earth? What comes to mind? Usually comes to mind the miracles, the teachings, Jesus walking on water, Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting. And all of those things are very important things that Jesus did. But have you stopped to notice that a lot of the ministry of Jesus was around food? Have you noticed that? The first miracle of Jesus, what was the first miracle of Jesus? It was in a wedding feast. And then he fed 5,000 people in a hill. The night before his crucifixion, he ate a meal with his closest friend, with his disciples. And after he resurrected, the first thing that he did with his disciples is to have breakfast with his disciples. So eating was a big deal in Jesus' culture. And eating was more than just spending time together. Eating in Jesus' culture had to do with, it was a statement, a public statement of who you wanted to be associated with. Who are the people that you consider close friends? Eating with someone was an affirmation of that person's value, dignity, and worth. It was a statement of the people that you actually love, that you welcome into your table. And that's why it was so shocking for the religious people when they saw constantly Jesus eating with what society considered the lowest of the lowest in that culture. He was a good rabbi, and a rabbi would not eat with those people because they were not good people. And one of the examples that we have, it comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and I love what it says. And let me read it to you. It's in Matthew 9, and it says like this. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." I don't know what, a lot of noise. "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's take a look at what's happening here. Jesus is walking by, and then he comes to a booth of a tax collector, and he sees Matthew. And then he tells him a couple of words, simple words, but life-changing words. "Follow me." And Matthew responded immediately to what Jesus said. Now, let's put this parenthesis. In Jesus' time, a tax collector was the worst of the worst. You know how we make jokes about lawyers today? No offense to lawyers, any lawyer here in the house. Right? So they were the subject of the jokes back in the day of Jesus. The tax collectors were hired by the Roman Empire. And what they did is collected the taxes that the Roman Empire asked them to collect. And then they added more and more. And that's how they make money. So they were ripping off their own people. So no one liked to be around tax collectors. So when Jesus calls one of these tax collectors as his disciples, for the religious people of the time, that was something scandalous. It was an enormous shock. And notice what the first thing that Jesus tells Matthew is not, "Okay, Matthew, we're going to put you in a 12-month discipleship program, right? And you got to learn some Bible verses. You're going to start to give first. And then we'll reconsider, you know, your position." That's not what he did. The first thing that Jesus does with Matthew is actually eat. He eats with him. And then scripture tells us that Matthew invites other tax collectors and people who were called sinners. And sinners was a derogatory term used for people who were not religious. And so that's the kind of people that Jesus is eating with. And so the leaders are so shocked, so angry. And so they say to the disciples, why is your teacher sitting with this kind of people? What is he doing? And Jesus overhears them and he tells them, "Hey, it's not the healthy who needs a doctor. It's the sick people who need a doctor." And when Jesus says this, he's not actually saying, "Oh, you Pharisees are healthy and they're like, no, you think you're healthy. You think you're healthy, but you're not healthy." And in fact, Jesus says, "You gotta go and learn this. I want mercy. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And what Jesus was saying was he was actually quoting the Old Testament, something that was written in the Old Testament because Pharisees were so good at following rules. They were so good at following rituals that in the midst of trying to follow the law, they forgot what was really important, which was actually spending time with people. And Jesus tells them, "You need to go and learn what this actually means. What this actually means." Jesus was on a mission with his life, and the Pharisees didn't get it. For the Pharisees, it was about obedience and following the laws and the rules. But for Jesus, it was about spending time with people. It was about giving them the value that people needed to have. And this is something that constantly happened. Jesus calls out of their criticism when he says, "The Son of Man," that was the way that Jesus referred to himself, "came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is shown to be by the lives of those who follow it." Now, Jesus was not a drunk, he was not a glutton, but he associated with a lot of people well, and he was accused of it a lot. But for Jesus, it was part of his mission. It was part of what he did to spend time with people that otherwise would not be accepted in the culture and society. So for him, it was really, really, really important. As I said before, eating with someone in Jesus' culture was very, very important. But I think that's still true today in our day. Let me ask you this. Who do you invite to your house? Who do you eat with? It's usually people you like, right? You don't invite just anyone to your house. You don't invite just anyone to your house. Let me read you what author Henry Nouwen says. This is amazing. When we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, I know you can eat more, right? Have another glass. We offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows and we become food and drink for one another. When we eat together, it's way more than just sharing a meal. It goes way, way deeper than that. And yet, something that seems so simple, sometimes is so difficult. It is so difficult. And that's why many of us get stuck in just hoping that people will find their way back to God, to actually helping people find their way back to God. And when we think about the blessed practices and the things that we have to do, many of you receive one of these cards. And I don't know if you've used them or not, but we have been writing the places and the people that God is calling us to bless. And I have written a couple of places and people that I feel God is calling me to bless. Maybe it is a person, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it is a family member, a coworker, or maybe it's a nursing home, or I don't know, whichever, whatever God is calling you to bless. When we think about blessing other people, when we think about actually being proactive into blessing people, many times we come out with so many excuses, so many reasons why we don't do it, so many reasons why we can't do it. Excuses like, I don't like to have people in my home. I'm guilty of that, okay? I don't like to have people in my home. Maybe that's a reason for you. Maybe you say, because my home is so small. Or maybe you say, I don't know how to cook. That's the reason why, because I don't know how to cook. I'll offer you cereal and that's it. But if that's you, I mean, if you don't like to have people in your home, eat out. Eat out with someone. If you don't know how to cook, order food to be delivered into your house. I mean, it doesn't have to be like a big meal. The idea is not just the food, but the time that we spend together. I mean, you want to serve Doritos with whatever. I mean, that's fine. But spend time with people at your home, at your house. Another reason we say is because I wouldn't know what to say. I get this one. Many of us are so afraid of having conversations. And we hate small talk, right? I don't like small talk. But something that we said a couple of weeks ago, the week before, the practice about listening. This is such a good way to listen to people. So we don't have to worry about what we're going to say, but actually we can focus on what the other person has to say. And we learn from that. Like, where did you grow up? Tell me about your home. Tell me about your childhood. What kind of jobs do you like? What do you like to eat? What do you do for fun? And all of these questions open a lot of good conversations that we get to learn from other people. Something I've said here, and I've said it many times, and I'll continue to say, you have amazing stories to tell. All of you, when I get to sit down with you and hear your stories, I am blessed. And I am sure that your story can be a blessing to somebody else. And the third one, maybe the most common one, is I just don't have time. I barely have time to eat with my family. You want me to eat with somebody else? What are you talking about? But let's think about it for a minute. I mean, in the midst of everything that we do, we have to eat. And we like to eat. And we eat 2 or 3 times. I don't know how many times you eat. But what if we intentionally take, let's say, 1 or 2 of those meals and say, you know what? I'm going to use these 2 meals to bless someone. I'm going to use 2 meals to bless someone. It doesn't have to be the 21 meals a week that we have, but it can be 1. It can be 2. It's something that is already built into everything that we do. I mean, missional eating doesn't have to be something that we cram into something that we already have. It's just a little bit of intentionality. Look what he says. Alan Hirsch and Lance Ford, they say this. Sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. This is amazing. Every Christian household regularly invited a stranger or a poor person into their home for a meal once a week. We would literally change the world by eating. So how about instead of looking for excuses, we find ways that we can bless other people. I heard a story, maybe you heard it too. It was a few Thanksgiving ago. And it was about two people. They were eating at McDonald's. And they were eating breakfast. And they were sitting on separate tables. His name was Eric. Her name was Jan. And when Jan saw that she's an older, like elderly woman. And she saw that Eric was eating by himself, she reached Eric and asked him, is it okay if I eat breakfast with you? And he said, yeah, of course. Let's eat breakfast together. And they started talking about family. They started talking about a lot of things. This is a picture of them right here. And that was shared on social media and that became viral. A lot of people like that. A lot of people, they talk about family. They talk about a lot of different things. They exchange numbers and they said that they became regular friends. Why do we like stories like this? Because they're not ordinary stories. They're not ordinary stories. But what if these stories were something normal in our lives? What if these stories become something normal? What if we make Portillo's or Potbelly or McDonald's or the places that we encounter make it a missional place when we connect with people, when we listen to people, when we care what people have to say? I believe that we can move from just hoping to actually be people that help other people find their way back to God.